Well, free man can make his own choices until he's not free, so.
That's how
it
goes.
Is that
goes.
A Terry Young quote?
No, I just made it up right now.
Your father's probably told you that at one time in your life. It sounds very inspirational.
You are listening to Nonsenseology.
What's up, everybody? This week we're going to talk about some more subtle topics than the last couple of weeks. I think we're going to start it off by going over some of our favorite vacations. Of course, as always, you've got me, Austin, Zach, and Kevin here. Me as in me, Austin, not the fourth. You know. Yeah, you get it. You know what I'm saying. Kevin's allowed to say that, Zach. There's a difference.
Biting my tongue.
We know that's a lot for me to do.
All right, so kind of diving on into things. Talking about vacations, I want to hear from you guys. I want to know some of your favorite vacation places, places that you've gone, places that you're planning to go, places that you'd love to go. I want to hear about your favorite memories in those places.
Oh, what have you guys got for Kevin me? Kevin to boast because on his Instagram, he says he's a world traveler. So can't wait to hear how he's just going to one up all of us.
Follow me on Instagram. It's kev.griffin. You can see I'm a world traveler. I know Zach is a little envious of that.
Where all have you been?
How many
countries?
Really sit down and think of it. I know at least
that's how many
countries.
He's been to.
At least 15 different countries. That's pretty good.
He doesn't have enough fingers, so that's why he had to sit down.
But then here's the thing, is every time I go out of town, like I'll go to Louisville or Nashville or Indy, yeah. And Zach will be like, oh man, world traveler.
How often would you say you go out of country?
I've not been in the past couple of years just because I've been in more of an adult type of job to where I have more regulated vacation time. But probably like all through my childhood and up until like my early years of college, before I was like actually working full time, I probably went out of the country at least once every other year.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So for the listeners that don't know, Kevin is Filipino. Yes. Yeah, you know. Of Filipino descent. So what's it like going over to the Philippines? Where exactly is your family located?
So my mom is actually from the island of Cebu. So Cebu is one of 7,000 islands in the Philippines. And she, born and raised there, came over here in her mid to late 30s. But we have been fortunate enough to go back over there over a dozen times. It's how I've done a lot of my world traveling as well, Zach, just to throw that in there. Mm-hmm. Basically, just being able, as going to the Philippines, being able to go to different countries, primarily in the continent of Asia, but some places such as I've been to Vietnam, I've been to Korea, I've been to China, Japan, I've been to Australia, I've been to Taiwan.
Why did we start with him?
What's wrong with that? I've been to a few different. I've been out of the country a few times. I've been to a few places.
Yeah, he's like Vietnam.
Yeah, but that's awesome. Korea. That's awesome. That's what
like,
I want to hear.
Yeah,
about.
I've been to the Cincinnati Zoo.
That's about as diverse as
I
think. Yeah,
I had no clue you'd gone to all those places. I've heard that Vietnam is beautiful.
I've only been there once, and I've only gotten to stay for a couple days, but from what I can remember, I was there, I think I was like 14 or 15, maybe, but from what I remember, and just looking back at pictures and stuff like that, yeah, it truly is. I know, obviously, you know, a lot of those countries in most areas are third world countries,
right.
But at the same time, too, there's still plenty of places that are very luxurious and great places to definitely vacation.
I feel like the nice parts of those countries would be the tourist destinations.
Yeah, a lot of the tourist destinations too, and then just some of the places that they've, you know, because a lot of those places were really damaged during World War II and that kind of time frame. Obviously the Korean War as well, Vietnam War, but over the past, you know, 50, 60, you know, however many years that it's been.
Let me ask this, and I'm not, let me repeat.
I love how he has to preface this.
Let me repeat, I am N-O-T, capital, all capital letters, not trying to be racist, but, so you're Filipino, and so you went to Vietnam.
Correct.
Can they, like, from a
here we go.
From an eye shot away, distinguish that guy as Filipino?
We're not fond of him.
I feel like even us as Americans could identify the difference. If you saw a Vietnamese person and you saw a Filipino person, you might not be able to tell exactly what country or what.
But they're definitely two different people.
You'd be able to tell that. Yeah.
Okay, my simple mind would just say foreign. That's all I'd say.
Wow.
What?
See, so you said, okay, well.
People think that we bash, Zach bashes himself. Yeah, he digs his own grave.
Yeah.
Sometimes we provide him with a shovel, but.
I mean, it's.
Foreign, he says.
I know. Hmm.
It's what you're talking, you're acting like foreign is like a.
Just if like anybody, a terrible word. If anybody is having problems or having issues figuring this out or putting this together, Zach is not the most PC of characters. We love him to death. Great guy. He'll give you the shirt off his back. Not the most PC of guys. Super friendly, though. We love you, big guy.
Sheltered kind of lifestyle, but that's okay.
I decided you look like Captain America, man. Before the whole like injections and stuff, but you look like Captain America.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad
he's actually speechless.
I'm glad you decided to really, I don't know, give it to me and lift me back up by saying I look like Steve Rogers. Thanks.
So, take a stop, Zach, for a minute while he dries his tears.
That was for everybody at home that was offended by Zach's comment. I got you guys.
I would definitely say that if you ever get the chance to go out of the country, to definitely do so. I reckon nowhere in particular, but definitely do your research before, just because there are some areas that are obviously safer than others. So definitely do your research. Don't just wing it. I know of people that sometimes just randomly like get on a plane and you know spontaneously do it. You know, taking COVID out of the equation just for everyone's like political well-being too. A lot of different countries like, you know, abide by different like rules and regulations, even just things that are, we take for granted or are common here in America. So I definitely say that just do some research before traveling out of the country for sure. But I'd say my most favorite place of going out of the country is obviously the Philippines. I've been there over a dozen times. A lot of family still over there.
I'm sure you're not being biased with that.
A little bit biased, yeah, of course. But there's just so much to do, so much to see. I mean, it is also a third world country, so there's obviously a lot of poverty over there. But there's also a lot of luxurious places that I definitely recommend taking a look at or going to see if you ever get a chance to go out of the country.
What the heck were you doing in Japan? Not to like switch it up, but.
So usually what my mom and I would do is whenever we would go to the Philippines, we'd like, you know, have like, we'd purposely schedule it to where like we could spend a couple days like in a different country that we either had never been to or that she had been previously early in her life. Usually if she had friends there or she just wanted to see or wanted me to experience that type of culture and just kind of see it.
That's
and do
awesome.
Some touristy things.
Heck yeah.
Because I mean, it's already a long enough plane ride. But
yeah.
Even if you get a chance to, you know, like just go there, even just for a couple days, just to experience kind of the culture and stuff like that, it was neat.
If you want to spend a freaking arm and a leg.
And spend a freaking arm and a leg, too. I mean, it really just depends.
I had a friend from, he was from China back in high school. He was an exchange student. His name was Joey. Shout out, Joey Zen.
I bet Zach thought I was an exchange student.
He probably did. Yeah, he thought that I had taken you in or something.
Yeah.
Dick. Anyways, Joey Zen, he's a great guy, but he and I would always talk, and he taught me a little bit of, a little bit about the Chinese culture, taught me a little bit of, about the language and all that good stuff. And it was pretty neat. And ever since meeting him, I've always wanted to go over to Asia and explore and really kind of dive into the Asian culture. I mean, you know, wherever that is.
And there's so much history, like even the individual countries, like there's hundreds and thousands of years of history. It's insane.
Ed works for Toyota. He's been there to Japan like 3 times.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. I would love to go. I would love, love, love to go to Japan, man. Hey. Tokyo would be cool. I mean, obviously, Tokyo is very stereotypical, and that's really about all. About the extent of my knowledge of Japan. I know there's other places. I mean, I love Pokemon. If I had a Pokemon gaming console right now, that like little handheld console, I'd do that in a heartbeat. I love Pokemon, but
okay. So basically, I'm gonna just put your knowledge in an equation. Austin goes to Tokyo, Japan with a Game Boy with a Pokemon game in it and shows it to Japanese man.
Yeah, that's...
No, I would never do that. See, that's racist again, Jack.
I really don't see how that is.
It's fine.
No okay.
worries. We're not even going to go there for the time being.
That's a special edition of
Nonsense. Yeah, we'll talk about
that. It's the intervention edition coming up soon. Apple Podcasts and YouTube.
All right, Zach. Well, to kind of cool you all off here, why don't you tell me about your favorite vacation places? Or the places you've been so far, anyways.
To either start off, going strong, or just name, you know, places within the country.
Let me hear it, bro.
The only place, versus Kevin, I've only been to one country outside of the U.S., and that is Jamaica. And I felt like it was a solid pick. It was for my honeymoon with my wife, obviously, and the people over there are great. They're obviously
salt of the earth people.
Yeah, I mean, super down to earth, easy to talk to, very welcoming to. I don't know about everyone outside of their country, but definitely people from the United States. And let's see. Obviously, I think it's a third world country, and there is a lot of. We landed at the. I can't remember what side of the island, but basically where we were going was on the complete opposite side of the island, and there we took a bus to get to our Sandals Resort. All inclusive, by the way. Great. And
that's Zach's style of travel. Yeah, all exclusive.
What all did you guys do there, though?
What I was going to say is that going. It was like a 2.5 hour bus ride to get to our resort. And I mean, obviously you get to see the countryside and kind of just get to see what Jamaica's about before you even get to your final destination. And a lot, like everywhere you saw just like half built houses.
Oh yeah.
They claimed, and I mean, I don't know if they were just trying to make themselves sound better, if it was actually factual, but they said that, I guess, that the, I think it was like the interest rates are so high there or something like that for being a landowner or just building a house, that they have to basically pay everything outright. So once they ran out of money, they stopped building until they could get more money again to start building a house. So,
yeah, that's actually very similar to what I remember hearing while I was in Jamaica. It's a pretty cool place, but the place that we stopped in was pretty
well.
People are super friendly. Super friendly.
Well, people. The people there, like, I know that. Me and Taylor did a kind of like a little excursion outside of our resort where we did horseback riding on the beach and in the ocean.
I saw pictures of that. It looked cool.
Anyway, so our tour guide, he was, I can't remember everything he said, but basically...
could you not understand what he said?
You can easily understand Jamaicans.
Okay, brother.
He was just talking about, like, that was his full-time job, was just being, you know, with tourists. He just guided horses for tourists. And what I learned from... at least this particular person, is that even though he lives in a third world country and probably doesn't have the most, doesn't have, you know, maybe even a car, but he just seems so grateful for the life he was living, in that
we take for granted a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You can definitely feel that while you're there.
Yeah, I mean, but that was one of those people that we kind of got to... not know like on an extreme personal level, but it was more the ones we got to know about in more in depth, and you could just tell just everyone there was just grateful for what they had, whether it was nothing or whether it was, you know, the richest person there. So really take away from, like, you know, coming back to America where, you know, you're just grinding every day, you know, maybe in my opinion, wasting your life away just to have the shiniest, newest, prettiest thing. And for me, that's not what life's about. And,
yeah.
And just going to Jamaica pretty much just reiterated that.
When you get really humbled, what
Jamaica can be a fun place, but it's definitely something you got to keep in mind.
Yeah, and I mean, that kind of applies to really a lot of third world countries, is because it's a lot of shadow play is what I like to call it, because there's so many people that come there for the tourist attractions, but don't really step outside behind the curtain and see, like, everything that's going on.
Well, I was
going
to say, I mean, you could, like, the resort we were on, you easily... I'm sure there was tons of people there that didn't leave the resort. That was all they did. They went to the resort, just stayed on the resort, yeah. Didn't do any excursions outside of the resort
yeah.
to see how the kind of the countryside and basically just how much in poverty Jamaica is. But outside of just knowing the people, talking to the people, it's a very beautiful country. The beaches are super clear. You can, water's crystal clear.
I think the Jamaican people are probably my favorite. Like, dude, they're just such...
Chill.
It's not even that they're chill, dude. They're crazy. They're crazy down there. Oh, dude, but in the best of ways. Yeah, like, dude, we were going snorkeling, looking at sea turtles. And then a big old storm's rolling in, right? So we go and we're like... on this little bitty island out in the middle of the ocean. Not on Jamaica anymore. We'd gone out on a boat probably 3 or 4 miles. You know Gilligan's Island?
Yeah.
The little group of islands that part of that movie was filmed on, we were out by those islands. The boat that we were on went right past them. So little bitty islands. This storm started rolling in. So the captain's like, all right, guys, get on the boat. Come on. So we go and we get on the boat. And then this... storm rolls through, hits us real hard, and while it's still raining, we see this other Jamaican dude come paddling up in a little dinghy, a little wooden dinghy with a wooden paddle, comes paddling up to our boat, and he's like, as the rain's starting to calm down, he's like, hey, you guys want some coconuts? And I'm just like, what in the world? Where did you come from? Like
how long have you been paddling?
We're literally out in the middle of the ocean. In the middle, it's starting to storm. And this dude comes paddling up in a little wooden dinghy.
So happy to give you coconuts.
Oh, dude, yeah. No, we bought... I mean, there was five of my family members. We all bought a coconut, plus the other five people that were on the boat.
Good Lord, you paddled away out here just to give us a coconut?
Not only that, but how the hell did you get through that storm? But to go along with that, as we were swimming around with the sea turtles, the storm had passed. We were able to get back in. We got back on the little boat thing.
Dinghy.
Yeah, the little... Well, it wasn't a dinghy. This was like an actual little pontoon boat, like motor and everything. The boat, the guy that came paddling up was a wooden boat. There was no motor. It was freaking nuts. But we get back on it, and the captain, he counts everybody, and he goes, oh, good, good. I'm glad everybody's here. Sea turtles... Tiger sharks are sea turtles' favorite food, so I'm glad everybody's accounted for. We're like, oh my god. Just being jokesters. Yeah. That's just how they are. But yeah, it was great to know that we could have gotten eaten by it. Whatever. You guys didn't think that was funny. Screw you guys. I'm going upstairs.
I thought it was interesting, just because I've also never been to Jamaica, so...
It's a fun place. I had fun down there.
The one-up Zach has on me.
I mean, I'm going to say, no, I don't have a one-up on you, but...
No, not in the overall sense, but...
I appreciate you for just trying to extend me that.
I've been to Jamaica. I've been to Playa del Carmen, Mexico. I've been to the Bahamas, which I went to a few different islands on the Bahamas.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. My wife's definitely been to more countries than I have.
Where's the other place?
I mean, what...
the Cayman Islands. Bahamas. I went to the Cayman Islands.
Is that even considered a country? Bahamas?
Yeah. Bahamas is its own country.
Oh, I didn't know. It just seems like such a small group of islands that it just doesn't seem like it'd be considered a country.
I think, though, talking about favorite vacations and most memorable vacations was the one we all went on together. That was Vegas.
The infamous
Vegas. We got to talk about our trip to Vegas. a little background there. It was Zach's bachelor party, and he had asked me to be his best man, so... Of course, me being me, I was like, we're going to go to Vegas then, of course. So, never been to Vegas before, but we went there, and, Vegas is everything I thought Vegas would be, and then some.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely, I had been out there twice before, visiting family. That weekend that we had was the best. I mean, I will forever cherish that weekend.
It's fun, dude. We got on a 5-hour, which I know we're kind of running over on this. Actually, we're right here on time, but we're running over a little bit with this topic. But if you guys ain't worried, I ain't worried.
While we were
in Vegas, on the way to Vegas, Kevin took a different flight because Kevin kind of...
He originally wasn't going to go,
so he got a later flight than we did.
And I said, oh, okay, I can deal with Zach for 4 days.
No big deal. So Kevin gets there before us, gets the room.
What a sacrifice going to Vegas to deal with me.
I know.
Oh, fella. Kevin gets the room all set up, and we're supposed to be flying there through Allegiant. This isn't good advertising. Those guys suck. But anyways, we were flying Allegiant because it was fairly cheap for like 8 guys to fly on there. And we split Zach's ticket cost, so it was probably $170 round trip from Vegas and back to Louisville, I think. That's where we flew out of. We got to put on a freaking 5-hour delay. And we were just there for the weekend, so yeah. 3-4 day, whatever. Till Monday. We came back Monday.
Yeah, it was Easter weekend.
Yeah. We were there on 420 and on
420
Easter.
420 and Easter weekend. That was
Easter. That was perfect. That was the best weekend we could have gone to Vegas, dude.
Well, and I thought it was... originally...
Mike Tyson had just released his line of marijuana.
I remember you talking about that. So what was interesting about that whole flight story, and where I knew it was already going to be a memorable weekend. I mean, we had a great group of guys going nonetheless. But it was the fact that I had taken a separate flight and flew out of St. Louis to Las Vegas. I was supposed to get there about 2-3 hours early, get the room set up, like Austin said, get the drinks flowing, and then meet these boys at the airport or when they get to the suite that we had. And so I text our buddy Brandon, and I'm just like, hey, let me know when you guys are about to take off so I kind of have a good window. I expected them... I said that when I got on the plane in St. Louis, about to board, just shoot me a text whenever I'll still probably be in the air. That way I get it when I land, I have a good idea when you're going to be here. So I get off the plane in Las Vegas about 4 hours later, and I pull up, open my Snapchat or something, and I see, all the other guys, they're having, wheelchair races yes. and all this stuff, and I was like, this says it's, 20 minutes ago. So I'm starting to call everyone, and I'm like,
What's going on?
Like, why are you not flying? Like,
dude, you won't believe this. That was cool, though. We were waiting, and, I mean, we were all getting flustered because, like I said, we had four days in Vegas, and now we've missed 5 hours. We were supposed to get to Vegas at 11 o'clock that night, so we thought we'd have all Friday night to party. But while we're sitting there waiting in the airport, there's other group of guys that were going to Vegas, too. It was one of our guys, two of our guys, and two of their dudes grabbed these little wheelchairs that were off to the side and started racing them down the little alleyways. And then instead of getting mad or calling security, the little lady at the desk started announcing the races.
What else is she going to do at this point? Letting people on or off the plane.
Yeah.
So the guys eventually got there around, I think it was about 2 or 3 a.m. because I remember I had time to...
No, it was about 4 or 5.
It was about 4 or 5
in the morning.
Because I had enough time to go down to the Vegas Strip. I was there for about an hour, maybe hour and a half or so. Got a couple of drinks, just took a nice little walk. I mean, I had time to kill. And then came back to our suites, took a nap, and then woke up and still had time before they got there. So
you went and got liquor, too.
Yeah, and I went and got liquor. I had gotten something to eat when I got off the plane. I was there for a good 6-7 hours by myself.
But as soon as we got there, man, we started taking shots and went out and had
it was nonstop. We stepped down the Vegas Strip at 4 in the morning.
Zach, where was the first casino we went to?
MGM.
We went to the MGM, and as soon as we went there, Kevin and I actually walked off and went to the poker tables.
Man.
I ended up winning about $250.
I ended up walking away about $60 less.
That was awesome. I felt so good. I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And then I came home about $2,000 in the hole. It was awesome. Yeah, I mean, oh, dude. I loved it.
Yeah, I'm sure Vegas always wins.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Vegas always wins.
But I felt like I won. Honestly, in the casinos, I won more money than I lost playing
poker. You won with memories.
Oh, there you go.
I spent so much money on like drinks at the pool party, which was stupid because I spent $150 in drinks on two drinks.
I was gonna say, the fact that the
$75 a piece. It was
went to a pool party. There was five shots in it.
That's still so much
that doesn't justify.
No,
like,
that's still over $12 a shot.
I didn't buy one of those drinks, but I saw the lady. It was a very large cup.
Yeah. What is that? $15 a shot? If it's $75 and there's five shots in it, that's like $15 a shot.
Well,
it was a Jack and Coke. She poured Jack all the way to maybe, I don't know, maybe there was an inch left, and then she basically just like squirted Coke on top.
Okay, so maybe it was more than five shots. I was already drunk when we got there.
I mean, it was pretty. It's not that you were drunk, but it was that you were still drunk from the night before.
No, dude, we were drinking even before then. The moment. I mean, I just kept drinking the whole time, and I think that's why I didn't get hung over. Because I just, until I went to sleep, I drank. I just drank. And as soon as we woke up, I would eat breakfast, drink some water, and then I drink. But you guys know how I am. I like drinking whiskey and water.
Yeah.
So if we're at the casino gambling, I'd always get whiskey and water, you know.
That's the key. If you are...
Lots of water.
Yeah.
Well, and Excedrin.
Well, no. If you're looking to continue your good time for the small amount of time you're there and you're consuming alcohol... Don't stop consuming alcohol, because then the alcohol doesn't have time to catch up with you. Because you're still putting alcohol in your system.
We've probably all got a collective of maybe like, what do you think, 8-9 hours of sleep over the course of 4 days.
Yeah.
I mean, we would go back and take like cat naps for like.
Let's say so we were in Vegas. Went and landed, made it to the strip, lost a couple bucks, made some money.
We also lost a buddy of ours with Zach's cousin Damien.
Dude,
he just mysteriously would fly out of nowhere.
I feel like a big portion of it was like twosies or threesies breaking off, and then somehow we miraculously like ran back into each other.
Oh yeah, eventually. I mean, Vegas isn't the biggest place, apparently. Okay, so what would happen?
I think
we would go. We would all go to the same casino,
yeah.
Branch off, and then end up seeing each other. Then we'd move to the next casino, branch off, see each other. Like, I think we were all around the same area.
Well, it was funny because the very first, like, couple hours that y'all had gotten there, and we went to the MGM, and we had kind of bounced around to a couple other casinos, and then it was probably like 7-8 in the morning. We're like, okay, what's our game plan for the day? Like, you know, like we kind of break off, like who wants to go, you know, like back and sleep for a little bit, who wants to keep going out, whatever. Again, 8 in the morning, it was like a Friday morning in Vegas. So we're like walking up and down the strip, and like we're calling each other, and like one of us, like a couple of them are still at the MGM, and then there are some that are at the Bellagio, like a mile and a half down the road. So we're like all trying to migrate our way to the same place, and I just thought it was hilarious because like we just all started wandering off.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we were so like split up.
Oh man, another good memory from Vegas.
Yeah, we ended up meeting up at the Bellagio at this like little
bistro type of
this little side restaurant that served breakfast food.
It was a Denny's. It was a Denny's or an IHOP. It was something very common.
No.
What is
your memory? Oh no! Wait! Are you talking about
where's your memory?
Wait, are we talking about Steak and Shake?
No.
That's what it was.
No, that's a couple days later.
Oh, okay. Dude, it all blurs together.
That was at the South Point Casino by our hotel.
Yeah, I don't know how you remember all of that. I don't remember the names of the casinos.
Yeah, I remember a good portion of it.
I don't remember any of it.
You were gone, my friend.
Oh, dude.
With a capital G.
That was so much fun. I wish I could go back right now. I'm going to walk there.
But there was, I mean, the nightlife, the things that we got to do. I mean, we tried to plan out, like a quote-unquote scheduled agenda for what we were
going to do. Yeah,
we threw that out the window.
We went to a Laugh Factory, and about every single freaking one of you fell asleep.
I fell asleep.
Reed, for sure, fell asleep.
Dude, as soon as we came out of there, I thought I was
sitting next to him.
Which, by the way, I was... extremely parched. Like I needed water.
I went to buy
a water. So sat back down, mind my own business.
Oh yeah.
Reed just rips open my water, drinks all of it in one sitting right in front of me, and then throws it at me.
That's awesome. Dude, those bottles of water aren't cheap because they're Boss.
Yeah.
And they were $8 for 4 ounces of water. Oh, it was $8. I bought one.
Yeah. Oh, for 4 ounces.
It was four ounces
yeah,
of water, a little bitty thing.
that high quality sparkling Vegas water.
Yeah, which is, you know, one of many reasons to love Reed as a friend, you know.
So yeah, Reed,
and that's at Reed Rounder on Instagram.
Man, Reed's such a goof. We were at a pool party, and after we left the pool party, Reed put a cigarette out on his arm,
God.
And then he put one out on my arm, and I was like, why?
No, but God, who was it? Was it Reed afterwards that, I mean, like, it was me and you, I think, like, we were all trying to get back, and Reed was just, like, hanging around still, and we're like, dude, I don't know if we had dinner reservations, we had somewhere to be, or we had just been at that pool party for, like, 5 or 6 hours, and we're exhausted, but I remember, like, I think it was Reed was trying to, like, just hang around. And we're like, we can't leave you here alone. Like, you'll probably get arrested or something.
Yeah.
Well, free man can make his own choices until he's not free, so.
That's how it goes.
Is that a Terry Young quote?
No, I just made it up right now.
Your father's probably told you that at one time in your life. It sounds very inspirational. Any other takeaways from that? Memorable weekend. I mean, I'll tell that to my kids one day, like, just how awesome.
The club night, whenever we got the party bus,
Oh, my God.
So, the party bus to Vegas, what they do is to fill these big major clubs as they take all these party buses for really cheap. Like, ours was $60 a person and free alcohol on the bus. So, but, yeah, anyway, so while we were at the clubs, we went to, like, this. They fill up the clubs by having these party buses come in and they go to all these big clubs. We get in for free. There's free, we don't have to pay the entry fees.
I mean, that was a solid deal.
And each of these clubs are like $50, $60, $70, $90 was the most expensive one to get into. And that's just the cover fee. And whenever we were going up to that club, that was like the last one of the night. She's like, okay, now everybody, you guys have to act sober or they will not let you in.
Yeah, that was insane. There was no way. You were telling all of us to, like, that lady was trying to tell all of us to act sober and there was just no way we were.
Dude, at that point, I was like, I grabbed Brandon and pulled him to the back. I was like, bro, I don't know if I'm going to make it in. I was like, I'm so messed up.
Part of me wonders, like, if they just say that to, like, fuck with people. Because, like, you know, because obviously they know at that point, like, there's no way they're going to be sober. And they all know the security guards and stuff. Like, they're all, it's part of the thing.
Maybe. I don't know, dude. They're probably a lot more lax in Vegas. One time in Nashville, we got denied from a bar because of
A couple people drinking. I've had that happen a couple times.
But, man, other than that, Fremont Street, it was all, dude, all of it was memorable. Every bit of it.
Yeah, even Fremont Street, but the old Vegas, as people call it, was very interesting.
Going to see the sign.
Yeah, that
flying
was cool.
Flying in at night, well, early morning was cool because it was dark. It was a good time. Zach kept messing with me because I hate flying. He kept messing with me while I was on the plane.
That was probably the highlight of the weekend.
We've established that. They know. We know.
Yeah, that was miserable. I did not like that.
So, with that memorable weekend put aside, I believe Zach's got quite the interesting topic this week that we've kind of briefly skimmed over in previous episodes. So if you haven't checked it out, definitely scroll up and hit the play button on some of our previous episodes of Nonsenseology. But Zach, what is your topic you brought to the table this week?
So before I even get to the premise of what I was wanting to talk about, I just wanted to ask you guys if you have heard or seen this documentary that's on Netflix. It's called The Last Blockbuster. Have you guys?
I've seen it. I didn't know if it's any good. Is it?
I mean, it's. So it's very nostalgic, obviously, because the whole thing is centered around that there is one last Blockbuster remaining in the entire world, and it's in Oregon, and it still remains to stay open. And obviously, I mean, with it's gotten tons of publicity because it is the last one. That's probably what's kind of helped it keep it alive. And I imagine it's probably the last. Movie rental, like, brick and mortar place in America, if I had imagined, just because your
Family Videos have shut down, things like that.
Yeah, and just obviously because of your streaming giants like Hulu, Netflix, Disney Plus,
everything,
So what I was wanting to get to and why I brought that up is just because. With the advancements of technology, like I had mentioned, these streaming services where you're gratified instantly getting these new movies, new content, new TV shows right at the tips of your fingers, whereas movie rental places were, it was an experience. It was a social
Friday evening.
It was a social outing where
I used to love going to those as a little kid.
Yeah, that's what
and that was the thing you would do.
I don't know if I've even mentioned what the whole premise of what I wanted to talk about is that with this advancement of technology is that and this is no by no means factual. This is just merely an opinion of what I've observed, but that with as years go by, technology gets better and better, and by this technology getting better and better, most of these technologies are basically going back to convenience, pleasing the consumer, getting them to be gratified right then and there, where they don't even have to leave their house. Most everything you could do, you don't even have to leave your house anymore. And circling back around to talking about video rental places, that it was such a you made a whole deal out of it. You know, you got the family together on Friday night, maybe a date.
Picking the pizza.
Yeah,
or
it was
something.
All about the experience. Yeah, it was more than just a movie. It was the experience.
Well, and to kind of just start that transition process, too, from getting away from the blockbusters and the family videos and things like that, is Redbox, which is still around, I believe. But they started putting Redboxes. They test market them, like in McDonald's, because they knew people, you already have the foot traffic. So I think that's how they generated, and they started putting them in, like, Walgreens and CVS's. I think we still have some
CVS
around.
And Walgreens.
Yeah, but, I mean, that, I think, kind of started the...
I only see them in Walmarts now, but...
Yeah, Walmarts, too. They got really big once they landed the Walmart deal. But I think that kind of started the getting away from... Because you'd make a special trip to go to Blockbuster or wherever, whereas if you were already at Walmart or McDonald's or CVS, like...
Do you guys remember Redbox started? You could order it in the mail, and they would mail it to you.
Well, that was
the beginning of Netflix.
Oh, was that Netflix?
Too.
Yeah, it was Netflix.
Oh, well, Redbox, I thought did that as well.
And that was I
could be wrong.
That was like
I
a big...
I could be wrong.
Watching that documentary, what I took away from it, that was something that Blockbuster took a big hit on, was when Netflix first started their whole business operation, plan or whatever you want to call it, was that you could rent a movie, they'll send it to you, no late fees, keep it as long as you want, and then whenever you're ready to get a new movie, you send it back, and then they'll send you a new one. Whereas Blockbuster, you know...
Your profit was late fees.
Well, yeah, you got late fees. You know, when you go, say, rent a video game and a movie, they'd be like, this one's due on Friday at 2 p.m., this one's due at Sunday at 7 p.m. or whatever.
Right.
And I feel like that's where they took a big hit, and I mean, obviously, Netflix grew to be. They kind of went away
giant
from.
That it is. Yeah.
They went away from that whole, you know, sending you movies to just creating a whole platform right there where you can access it at your TV. And basically, where I'm going with all this is like, and with COVID, movie theaters are dying. That was a whole social outing where you could get a group of friends, family, date, and make a whole thing out of it. Where now you don't even have to. I mean, not saying that people don't invite people over, but there's these experiences are being taken away where there was social interaction. Just trying to think of another example of what's kind of going away as well. You know, malls, shopping malls where. You're finding yourself interacting with people, you know, talking to someone behind the cash register, or just even possibly asking an associate for help with something. Whereas now you're obviously accessing Amazon and all your retail needs online. So I'm just worried about future generations as far as being able to socially interact. And I'm seeing it now with my brother. I'm not trying to bash him by any means, because this was just the way the world he grew up in. But you know, people are having a harder time talking about their feelings, or just even having a basic conversation with someone. It's I'm seeing it more as a struggle where you're pulling teeth, and they would rather. Get you out of their face and go back to their video game or their scrolling on Facebook or Twitter or something like that.
Sure.
So
absolutely.
And, enough of me talking about it, I want to get your guys' thoughts on it too, and what you, if you agree with me or what.
I mean,
no, I completely agree with you. Yeah, I think people are, to an extent, I think people are getting more closed off. Like the population as a whole, yeah, getting more closed off. But I think, I don't know. Everybody I'm around is fairly social.
I think the whole Netflix model is interesting, just because I wonder that whenever they had started it, like just the initial startup of their company, if they had the aspirations like that they knew they were going to turn it into online streaming and they wanted to get their name out there ahead of time, or if they, when they started it, Sully was just trying to like get into the movie business, and along the way they developed the whole in like online streaming platform, because I mean that Netflix was definitely the front runner for that.
Well, and watching that the last Blockbuster documentary, I can't remember timeline or when they did this, but I know to kind of fight back against Netflix, they did launch their own online platform.
I thought I remember.
Yeah, they launched their own online platform. I don't know exactly how it worked. I don't know. I think it was similar to Netflix, where they would send you a movie, and then they actually had a whole campaign surrounding no more late fees, which, and then I believe shortly after that, it wasn't long after that campaign and the whole no more late fees launched, that Blockbuster went into bankruptcy or something like that. And
yeah, I think
they
the
went
no
out
more
of business.
Late fees was the last ditch effort.
And so, you know, a lot of these movies and video games, they didn't get returned. I believe we, at my dad's house, we may still have Blockbuster movies that never got returned. They're still in that case.
Yeah,
because, well, I mean, what was the point of returning them if you knew Blockbuster was going under?
Yeah, so, and there was never any late fees, so it's like, how would you, you know what I mean, would be charged for it, because, I mean, you've already paid the initial, you know, rent it. And that was kind of the thing, like when Redbox first started too, was that it would, like, you would get charged like for so many days, I believe, and then there like a certain time frame, and at that point, like, you might as well have kept the movie,
because it was like 24 days, I believe.
Yeah, something like that. 3 weeks. I mean, it was a substantial.
I guess I guess basically just keep the movie and never show your face in that Blockbuster again or something.
Essentially, yeah. Or you could never like rent, because I remember like you'd have to give like your driver's license or something.
I was
like
say,
that.
It was across like all Blockbusters, I thought.
Yeah, like you'd have, or was it your phone number you gave or something like that?
Yeah, no, it was, I'm pretty sure it was your driver's license.
It's, and I don't know. I mean, I could be going a little far fetched with this, but and I mean, again, COVID has something to do with it too, and me getting older, but even when I wasn't, I don't know, say even 5-6 years ago, with all this technology advancement and things of gratification having right then and there, accessing entertainment and things like that, I felt like the you weren't, as far as things to do, finding things to do, it was kind of narrow as far as, like, you know, having fun. And I don't know if you guys can kind of tell where I'm going with this, but, like, I don't know. Basically, everything as far as entertainment goes, it was already right there at home. So you don't even have to get out of your house to do it. And that's actually another point I want to bring up, is that by being able to stay home, your groceries get delivered to you now.
The convenience factor. I mean,
I work for DoorDash, and I mean, you don't even have
he
to.
Works go, for DoorDash. It was his wife's idea.
Yeah. You
was
don't
it,
even.
Who, wait, oh, man,
it's like, it, so and again, this is only an opinion. It's not factual, but I feel like less and less people are actually going and sitting down at these restaurants and eating. They're using these.
Well, especially because of the whole COVID
these food
thing.
Delivery services to deliver
yeah,
it to
absolutely
them.
Yeah.
I mean, even after COVID is done, I feel like
yeah, it'll carry on.
Yeah,
it'll carry
that's
on.
What I'm saying is that people.
It's part of the New World Order, bro. That's all part of it. It's part of the Illuminati and the Godfather.
And the evolution.
It just makes me.
Oh.
It just makes me so.
Oh, we were being serious.
Yeah.
Oh my bad.
It just makes me just so worried with where everything is headed. I mean,
I mean, you're just going to go into more expedited convenience type of things, and it's just, I mean, that's just how the world is. I mean, when you go from, I mean, it's as simple as, like, you used to be able to, like, when you'd have photos, you would have to, like, drop them off, and they'd take a couple days to get developed. Now, like, you have the photo, like, in an instant, and can print it off. With, you know,
well,
like,
I mean, who even, I mean, there, you have most, and I imagine most people have hundreds, at least hundreds of photos in their phone.
No one
prints all those off.
Thousands.
Yeah.
Thousands.
No one prints all those off anymore. I mean, maybe like the very specific ones that you want to remember and are proud enough to hang up on your wall at home. But again, it's just like, I don't know, all these experiences are being taken away that
into more convenience. In again, it's just like a, you know, a said a couple of times, it's a part of evolution. Like, it's you're adapting to what's going on in the common world, because if you're not trying to strive to find better, more efficient ways of doing things, you're gonna get left behind vis-a-vis Netflix versus Blockbuster.
I've been with the last Blockbuster, something that's actually pretty cool about it is that I believe that, and again, it's in Oregon. I believe that
I'll have to watch the documentary. I've seen it several times,
okay. It's a really easy watch, and you'll watch it, and nostalgic feelings will come back, and it makes you wish that. You wish you could walk into a Blockbuster last time.
We'd rent the movies, get some candy and popcorn from it. Yeah, dude.
That was the spot.
They tried having once they started dying off, they tried moving little pizza places in there and stuff that. And it wasn't happening.
Yeah, a lot of family videos around town. Yeah.
They bring this up in there. And I mean, I can draw from it because I mean, I did the same thing, but there was, you know, they would have like a section in the very back where they would have like a curtain or whatever, and that you knew that's where like the horror movies and the R-rated movies were, and
X-rated movies too, I think.
But
you'd go there to like rent your video games and stuff like that. Like I remember I would always rent video games like before, you know, like checking them out, you know, to see if it was worth buying type of thing. So I always thought that was pretty cool.
I mean, if you've trusted their opinion, but you can ask that Blockbuster worker to be like, hey,
high school kid or whoever was.
Honestly, that's
there.
Something like PlayStation Now or PlayStation Plus, whatever it is. That's what they should do. Xbox Live is when you go to buy a game, they should let you rent it for like $6.99 or whatever, get it for 3 days, 4 days, and then.
But instead of that in person, like, hey, is this worth renting? You just type into YouTube, hey,
and watch the reviews.
Movie review on this, and. I mean, you're not face to face with that person talking to them. You know?
No, of course not.
So, but what I think what I was saying about the what's cool about the last Blockbuster in Oregon is that I believe you can actually rent it out as an Airbnb.
I wonder if I've read an article on that for some reason, because that just sounds too familiar, and that there's no way like that's just a common thing.
But
what would you do there though? You know what I mean?
I mean, it basically just indulge in your nostalgic thoughts and in your childhood. It's like you get to experience Blockbuster all over again. And I think they have it where you can like, you know, pull movies from the shelves and watch them on a projector screen. And
At that Blockbuster?
At the last Blockbuster.
Yeah, like at that one. That's really specifically cool. Documented.
So they were like, man, we have to ball out for this. Now we got to get a bowling alley, some laser tags, maybe paintball guns. I don't know.
But that'd be kind of good. I'd be down with that.
And I guess for these places that I kind of brought up, like the mall and the movie theaters, and I just can't see them making a comeback. I feel like COVID was definitely like the nail in the coffin for them as far as being able to survive.
What if Blockbuster? Now, hear me out. Listen.
Here we go.
This is just a thought, and I think it's a good one. So, Blockbuster, you know?
Yes, what we've been talking about for the last 25 minutes.
So, like, they should have cage fighting. And then they could start competing with the UFC. It's already in the name. You get your Blockbusted, you know? That's just how it goes.
My lord, son.
I'm just saying, that would be awesome.
And were you sitting on that one, or did you just come up with that?
I just sat on that one for a while.
I just came up with that. No, not is no one with me here,
Chris? No, and on that note, I think that seems like a good time to end this week's episode, don't you, with another nonsense fact by our loving friend Austin?
Anyways, I don't know.
Dude, it was so bad you're shutting down the whole episode.
Well, if it's pretty hurtful. If people listen to this, I don't know if you guys agree, but it, I mean, if you kind of listen to this and, you know, I'm bringing it to light for you, or, you know, these were thoughts that you've already had, just kind of, I mean, just let us know. Let us know your opinions. Love to hear it. And, yeah, I guess you'll catch us next week. Sorry for being such a serious Zach this week. I know you guys probably look forward to
the whimsical mind of Zachary Young.
Yeah. Well, and didn't really give Austin and Kevin an opportunity to give me a hard time. And
wait, I thought we'd take it easy on you this week.
We didn't give him a hard time?
Let them think that. It's fine.
We didn't?
If you did, you took it very lightly.
Oh, crap. I'm sorry, buddy.
Let them think that. It's fine.
But, yeah, anyways, if you guys want to continue to listen to us, we really appreciate it. Our socials at Nonsenseology Podcast on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter.
Before he goes through his 3 seconds of dropping our entire socials, big Nonsenseology announcement, everyone. We will begin our YouTube series starting next week. That's right, the next episode that you'll be listening to will also be on YouTube. Find us on YouTube at Nonsenseology Podcast. You'll get to see us record our weekly episode of Nonsenseology and get to see our crazy antics. It's uncut, unedited, and it's undoubtedly going to be complete nonsense.
I'm going to feel like I have to kind of not make myself look like complete garbage. I'm going to have to maybe dress.
All our faces are going to be on there?
Yeah. No, we're censoring out our faces.
I'll wear a mask.
Yeah, there you go. Just wear a mask. In COVID tradition.
We're going to have to sit 6 feet apart?
No, we're not going to sit 6 feet apart.
It could be a wide-angle lens. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, that's true. I don't know. I'm
just saying.
I don't know if our multi-million dollar camera production
I'll bring a tape measure.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's have the little stickers on the ground and everything.
That's a good idea.
Let's start yelling into
this marks Zach's 12 hours of talking with you guys. It's
12 hours?
I can't believe we've made it. Yeah.
What episode is this?
12.
12?
We're loving it.
I don't know why I thought we were on episode 10.
Yeah, 12 hours of talking to you guys. So, anyways, if you've listened to us for 12 hours.
Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Keep coming back. We'll have
more nonsense to go on.
Hopefully. All right, catch you later. How about that?